Jesus' name this morning. What a blessing to be here and to just witness the messages here from these young men that shared on the redeeming of the time, the Bible studies. I was greatly encouraged and blessed by that already this morning. It blessed me greatly. I just want to thank the brothers that put their effort into that and spent time with their young men here the last few months. I know that it was a lot of time involved, but yeah, it was rewarding. I know that a few mornings waking up and 4:30 in the morning hearing your children singing upstairs. What a blessing. It just inspired me. The times that we have been singing at 4:30 way back then it would have been a lot different. We've been coming home from all night gathering and still singing these evil songs that we were hearing throughout the night. So it was a blessing to at 4:30 in the morning wake up and hear your children singing songs about God. So thank you, brothers. For putting that together and spending your effort there. Yeah, just also blessed with John shared this morning on them 12 stones there from Joshua. Sort of my heart as well here on my message this morning. Just remembrance. Just remembering the God whom we serve is what I'm going to title the message, on God whom we serve. It laid in my heart here a while back on some things. God laid a few things in my heart to share on. And this is I'm going to share on it, but in a little different way here this morning than what I was planning on. But anyway, so just nothing new. It's just going to be just sharing some things on the faithfulness of God and on whom the God we serve. So I will share here after we get done praying. Why don't we just bow our heads, our hearts here, and ask God to just bless this time here. So, Father in heaven, as we do bow here this morning, Lord, we thank you for each brother, each sister in here. Lord, I thank you for them, Father, that we can fellowship together and we love each other and we praise you, Father, because you are worthy to be praised. So we just pray for your leading here, Lord, that you continue on. As we heard today, Lord, on the theme of salvation, we know that we are not home. We are on a journey. But Lord, we know that, as we heard, that if we continue on the path, you will lead us home. So that is our heart, Lord, that we continue being encouraged, remembrance of the things that you delivered us from, that we can just someday hear those words, well done. So, Father, just bless this time. Give me words, Lord, that we know, Lord, if you don't... give me manna here, Lord. Or you, the Spirit, don't intercede. It'll be a dry message. So we just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Yeah, I just first of all, I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. I was in my dream last night. I was asked somewhere to go preach a message, and I agreed to it. And I got there. It was time to go up, so I went up and got up there, and no pulpit. So I was looking around at some brothers, and they're all just looking at me. Well, I had to find a pulpit. So I went and got the pulpit and put it up here. And it's dark in here. I couldn't hardly see nothing. And they just all sat there in the pews. I know that if it happened here, they'd go turn on the lights, or they'd bring me a pulpit. So finally, I found the lights and turned the lights on. And I got up here. And I was like, okay. Then I couldn't find my notes. Then as I was looking for my notes, all the people around me, they started coming up here around me, and they started just talking, and I was like, Lord, what is this all about? And finally, I said, okay, Lord, I can't find my notes. I have God laid a message in my heart, and I was going to start preaching. I looked up, and it was time to quit. I don't know what all that means, but I know that if that would be here, they would run the pulpit up here, and they would turn the lights on, and they wouldn't be up here, so I praise God for you this morning. Here, so Yeah, it was real. I woke up, it was like almost sweating, it seemed like. Well, 1998. God started stirring. It seemed like He started stirring in my heart. One of the first times I realized that I was a sinner, and I was doomed for hell. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do about it. I remember just going into depression, pretty much. Because I knew that I was going to die and I was going to go to hell. And it just seemed like there was no way out. I had nobody to talk to about it, it seemed like, which there would have been maybe some. And as we was journeying, it seemed like, I remember one day sitting down beside Loretta through this time, and I told Loretta, I said, if there ever be an English-speaking church somewhere that shares, you know, that's conservative, that would, we said, that drives a horse and buggy, I said, I would go. Thinking that that would be the answer to my need. Well, you know, it's like, why don't I just take the Bible and open the Bible up and read? Well, I had a German Bible there. I couldn't read German, and I don't think at that time I had an English Bible there at that time, so I didn't know where to go, what to do. But at the same time, I was still in my old sinful state. We had two children. Renee was 6 and Jennifer was 2. And I know at that time as well that I did not want my children to grow up in the ways that we did in this sinful life. And I remember telling God, God, I don't know. I said, you need to help me. Can you show us the way? I remember talking to that. And it didn't make sense because I still love our sinful life. It seemed like we were still involved in a very evil group. I remember going to our bishop, which many of you know who he was Dan Schmucker. So I went to him after a time and said, Dan, I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what's wrong. Just seemed like I was convicted of my sins and all that, and I told him that I did a lot of evil things, and I want help. I want to be excommunicated from the church to make some of my sins right. And he said, "Well, you don't need to be excommunicated. All you need to do is just repent." I was like, "What do you mean repent? That was something very different in that time back then. Repent. I never heard of the words repent." Then, and he just said, you know, just tell the Lord sorry. And like for me, he's like, no, that's not tradition. I said, I wanted to be excommunicated so I can get on the right track. I convinced him, and he said, okay. So that's what he did. But through that time, I'm coming down to my message here, but through that time, I remember telling him all my faults, all the things that I struggled with, and not going to God. And you know, that's what we told. We were told, you know, that you go to your bishop, not in a negative way, but that's all I knew. And I know today it's not that way, there. But that's what I went. I went to the bishop and I confessed all my things, and nothing ever changed until someone told me that they shared me some gospel tracts. They shared me some truth here years later. They told me that you need to be born again, and I said, well, what do you mean? You know, what is that? What is born again? What does that mean? And they shared some verses to me on born again. I remember going to John 3:16, some of the first verses that we learned. And he shared, you know, if whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. And we heard that. But it's interesting. Some of those verses stuck to my mind, and as I started seeking and on a journey, I remember asking and seeking. And what I want to share here is some verses on, you know, if you don't ask, you will not receive. You ask not, you have not because you ask not. And just just again, I just want to put a pile of stones here and just remember, young men. This is probably targeted more on the young, for the young men here or the young converted. I don't know who this message will be for mainly, but it's also for those in here that never asked, those that have never been born again, those that never seek. Some verses here I want to share on the faithfulness of God when you seek, because I remember asking God that if He would send a English speaking church, and He did. He brought a New Order church here that I gathered that spoke English, and what a blessing that was. I found nuggets of truth. I got born again there just by hearing the Word of God. And yes, and opened up my understanding and started reading. Started seeking God. But before any of this can start, I remember, when I went and confessed all my stuff, all my things to the bishop, nothing changed. It's because it needs to start in John 3. Listen, young men in here that are at the age of accountability and never been born again. Jesus says here in John, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Of course, Nicodemus, he didn't understand. He said unto him, What do you mean? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into the mother's womb and be born? You know, there's, like for me, that didn't make sense to me, born again, at first couple times that's been shared. Because I did not understand. Just says you cannot see the kingdom, you will not understand the kingdom. But you're in here in the Word of God being preached Sunday after Sunday. You got mom and dad that are teaching you in devotions and on and on and on. You know the Word of God. If you ask, Jesus says, I will give to you. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit," that's talking about a natural birth and a spiritual birth, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Of course, you know, there's two births he's talking about here. One, the natural birth is when you're born as a baby, and the next one is a spirit. You need to be born in the Spirit of God. You need to allow the Spirit of God to do a transformation in your heart. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. So what does born again mean? The young men here and Melvin explained that very well. Salvation, that was a blessing. They shared some verses that I was going to share on, but here I'm just going to go through that. We know that it's more than just saying a little prayer and telling Jesus sorry and continuing on as always. More than that. Many are caught up on that. In this life, they say a little prayer when they was 8 years old or 9 years old, and they go on and nothing changes. There needs to be a transformation as that little caterpillar turns into a little butterfly. There needs to be a heart operation that needs to happen when you're born again. And everything changes. It says in Ezekiel 36, he talks about taking that stony heart from you. Just laying a foundation here before I share on a few verses here. I don't feel I have a very long message here today. But just a few words of encouragement. He says, "The new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." He says, "I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in the statutes, and you shall be kept. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I also will save you from your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and increase it, and lay no famine upon you." 28 says, "And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." That's the God whom we serve. I remember one day, actually it was 2 days, back in 2003 or 4, I stayed home. That's when seemed like the Spirit of God started really moving in my heart. I remember staying home and crying out to the Lord Jesus. I remember Him for the first time saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner." Talking to Him. "I'm a sinner and I'm doomed to hell." I began crying out for forgiveness for my sins. The first time I began crying out and saying, "Lord, I am a sinner. I know that I've done all these things. I've done this and I've done that," on and on and on. And I begin asking for sorry. I've been telling him, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I remember just going through every sin that I could think of. I'm telling him, I'm sorry. And just talk about the God whom we serve. That's the title of the message. He began to move in my life. For the first time, I remember that burden rolling off the back, off of my shoulders, off my back. I mean, I was heavy for many years there. It seemed like from 98, I knew I was a sinner, I was going to go to hell. And I continued my life, but yet it's still there. I wanted to change my life. I wanted to do something different. But finally, the burden started rolling off, and it was because I began to ask. And I just want to read some verses here that where Jesus talks about some of those those verses. I became a free man in Jesus Christ. And how He washed me through His blood. It made me a new creature in Christ. Oh, the God whom we serve. And I can say it's worth it all. And I wrote in verse 3 there, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless God does an operation in the heart, nothing changes, nothing happens, because we can't do enough good to save ourselves. And what it means is we cannot see the kingdom. The darkness overrides the light. We love the darkness rather than light. And I know that many times people shared things with me. Way back in 1995, when someone shared the gospel with me, I couldn't understand it because I love darkness rather than the light. But when we become born again, everything becomes new, as they shared there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we become a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Everything will become new. You won't be the same person that you once were, and then you loved your sin. You'll be coming to a point where you hate your sin. You hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. So it won't make sense to us unless we're born again. So just on a few verses, and I know that one of the young men shared on that verse in 1 John 9. If we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next verse says that if we say that we have no sin, we make Him a liar and the truth is not in us. So we all know that we have sin and come short of the glory of God. So that's one of the first verses that God revealed to me, probably, other than Romans 10:9. And I remember what that did in my life when I read that verse in 1 John, I think it's 1 John 9, yeah. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only forgive you, but to cleanse you. You know, take that guilt and that shame and all that ugly stuff that was attached to us and make us a new creature. So as I shared before, so you have not because you ask not. So that when it started for me is when I seen I was a sinner, and then I seen a need to ask for the forgiveness of sins. God cannot work in anyone unless he or she confesses or asks for help or repents and cries out to God for deliverance. And God is just waiting and waiting for souls to cry out to Him. And we know that He desires the whole world would come to Him in repentance, but only a few that come, because most people don't see their need and don't have a desire to ask God for deliverance. In verse 9 it says, if you really confess and repent and sorry for your sins, Jesus truly forgives, and not just forgives, but to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He removes all the stain and the dirt. And I just wrote, oh, the God who we serve. I just remember, you know, as we were hearing these young men up here sharing the testimonies of their life, of their souls, transformation. And it made me think, every one of us in here, one time got on your knees and asked God to change you. And you asked God to forgive you. And asked God to give you a new life. And He did. The faithfulness of God. Never forget that. Just like John shared, it's just a pile of stones for remembrance. Teach your children the faithfulness of God. If you ask, you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And He goes on and shares many, many of those verses. And I just want to touch on a few of those. I just wrote, God is so good. Amen. We don't deserve what He did for us when He went to the cross and was terribly beaten, as they shared that this morning. so that we could be forgiven, but humbly. I accept that. That's what His mission was all about, in saving souls of men. He wants men to fall on their knees and ask. He knows before we even ask, He knows our needs, but still it comes down that He wants men to humbly get on their knees and ask Him for help. As I shared earlier, why this message lays on my heart is because when someone pointed out some of these verses in Romans 9, John 1, 9, John 5, 13, and all those, I remember those verses clearly as I looked up some of those. And I remember once sitting around a campfire. We were just sitting there visiting before we were born again, and these verses were fresh in my mind, and I asked my brother-in-law, I said, what do they really mean? Like Romans 10:9 and John 1:9. And as we were sitting there, I think I shared this before, but we discovered it means exactly what it says. You know, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in Romans 10:9. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just. Now remember reading some of those verses from the beginning. If this is so true, if this is the first time that I've seen God has He had an interest in my soul. And he had a desire that I would call upon Him and be changed. And I can remember the first time seeing that. It shook me. It started changing my life for the first time. I remember I seen that He wanted to fellowship with me, and it started continuing working in my life. And He longs for true fellowship with every soul in here. Every soul in the world. He longs. But only a few will come. Why? Because only a few will seek Him and ask Him to be a child of the King. God draws all men, but yet He wants men to confess with their mouth and their lips their sins and their needs. God is faithful. Men are the ones that are not faithful. In Matthew 7 here, Jesus' words here. Remember this, young men. If you're in here and struggling with some things, I don't know what it may be. If you're in here and have not ever been born again, these are Jesus' words here. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Jesus says, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? You know, as Father, he calls us, I don't know who he's talking to here at this group, but as he's talking about you being evil. He's talking about earthly fathers. If you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more is my Heavenly Father give those that ask? Now I just wrote down, maybe you're in here and not born again, but are struggling with some sins or temptations. This is for you. These promises are for you here through Jesus. This is the God whom we serve. He's willing to give. Maybe you're in here and beginning to lose your vibrancy or your zeal in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been born again 20 years ago. Maybe you're beginning to lose that vibrancy that we once had. And we become, their zealousness is leaving. This is for you too. If you ask, He said, you shall receive. Because His kingdom is about salvation of souls, as we heard these men shared here. We know that not everything that man asks you will receive, because sometimes we ask upon our own lusts. But these things here, the promises that he talks about in salvation, if you ask, you shall receive. Maybe you're struggling here with relationships with brothers or your children. This is for you as well, whatever it may be. Never forget to continue asking, because He's willing to give over and over and over. Don't matter what it may be. Maybe it's financial hardships. I mean, He wants us to bring it to Him. Not that He'll give you $1 million. But He can lead you through those times. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. You know, he says here, what man of you, if your son asks for bread, we know that not one of you would give your son a stone. If he asked for a fish, not one of you in here would give him a serpent. Not one. So how much more is our Heavenly Father able to give us the things that we desire or we need? And that talking about salvation things. If you ask for truly for forgiveness, many people struggle in this life for forgiveness. They became a born-again Christian, they claim, and then some things in their life that they stumbled and they committed whatever. I heard some that committed adultery, and they just cannot believe, they just don't know if God will ever forgive them. And that is from the devil. But if you turn away from him, he promises you that he will give you all things that pertain to godliness and righteousness. The God whom we serve. And how much more shall Jesus Christ forgive you if you truly ask of him? Or how much will he bless you when you seek? He says, as far as the east is from the west. And how far is that? We know that that is never ending. You just go east and east. You go and you'll go and you'll go. One afternoon, I was sitting there with my dad, just talking right before he died. And he was just talking about how he just this life is just becoming less and less appealing to him. He's ready to go. To go be with Jesus, he told me, and also go be with mom. And I was just sitting there, and I said, well, that's a good thing, Dad, to have. Yes, we all must lose this zeal for this things of this life. If we don't, the worldly things will continue on eating us up, and we will not grow closer to God. And I told him that's a good thing. Then I just looked at him and said, "Well, Dad," I said, "you know, when you die, I said, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord." I said, "Do you feel that all of your sins are forgiven? Have you asked God for forgiveness of your sins?" And I know that he. I talked to Mom and Dad about it before, and I just wanted to see what he said. And he looked up at me and he said, "Mark," he says, "as far as the east is from the west, I feel that my sins are forgiven." And he just started crying. And I just thought, well, amen. 2 weeks later, he died. My dad died. And I know that one day I was talking to Mom and Dad, and they did. At age of, Dad was 79, and Mom was 74, 75. For the first time, they sat down and they said they asked the Lord for forgiveness. They asked each other for forgiveness for the first time. Dad was going in for like the, I shouldn't say the first time, but she said that they sat down in a room right before Dad went in for a heart operation. And they sit down and said they confess. At the age of 79 and 74, whatever, God still, no matter how old you are, still wants you to, he wants you to ask. And I believe that God delivered and God answered. Because my dad was a different dad when he died. And I just said, praise God. And I know that Dad laid in his rockers many nights, singing, praying and asking God, talking to God. Many nights he'd come in and just want me to sit beside him and just pray with him. God is so good. In John 1, 1 John 5, 13, there, just another, and I know, like I said, these verses are not new to any one of you. But these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And I shared that before. It's got to be in His will. And mainly, He is pertaining after life and righteousness. He wants us, He's about the business of souls, doing operation on souls. So, anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that He hath the petition that we desired of Him. He has all the petitions that we desire of Him. When a sincere heart is lifted up to God, He hears us.
The road doesn't mean that He always will answer the way we think or ask, but God knows exactly what we need. For sure, He heareth us. Even on things outside of salvation, He cares. And with all that said, I know that it takes faith to read these verses and to believe Him. As it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." In Hebrews 11:6. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into His grace, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So I know that one of the first times that I started seeking God, and someone said the verses mean exactly what it says, that was mixing faith in with these verses, and I started believing them, and it started changing my life. And it changed me forever. And it changed every one of you in here. As the children of the King, we are fully reaching out. Are we fully reaching out our hand and grabbing His and letting us leave us, lead us in the ways of into His ways? As Jesus says in Peter, casting all your care upon Him, because He careth for us. One of the brothers read this verse this morning. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whoever is born of God overcometh this world. And this is the victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh this world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And you look up the definition of believeth. It's one that you trust and you walk with, and you just learn to obey. You just believe it. You just trust in this being, and that is trusting in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, trusting that He will deliver you. He will yet deliver you as time comes. And He said we will be overcomers if we keep His commandments. He says, and they're not grievous. "For whoever is born of the God overcometh this world." And what is the world? It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We overcome sinful habits, habitual sins. God is faithful. If we continue reaching His hand and reaching out and walking with Him, He will continue on leading us through this dark, sinful world. As I talked a few things earlier, it says it's not always an terms how God answers. But one thing for sure, the Word promises that if we call on the Lord with a pure heart and an honest heart, when we fall short in our Christian lives, God at 100% of the time will answer. Every time. That's for sure. There's times that we pray upon ask for things upon our lust and nothing changes and we wonder why. But if you're living in failure, if you're living in sin, 100% of the time, if you ask God for repentance, and you tell God you're sorry, and you have an honest heart, every time He will forgive you. Don't forget that. There's only one in here. I said, if there's only one in here that have not repented and still living in sins, if you get on your knees and are truly sorry for your sins, He will wash you whiter than snow and forgive your sins. He will throw them into the depths of the sea and remember them no more. Why? Because He promises that he will do that. He's all about salvaging men from their sins. That's the God whom we serve. We owe God our life because we know what the Lord Jesus went through so that He could have eternal life, so that we could have eternal life. We owe all of our life to Him. God is merciful unto those that ask for forgiveness. You know, it's the same as you know, if a child comes to you, and Jaden still does, said, "Dad, I have maybe done some things I shouldn't have done. Dad, I've sinned. I've done some bad things. Sorry, Daddy. Will you forgive me?" We know exactly every father in here what they will do. It just blesses. It blesses the dad, right? When the son comes and says, "Daddy, I've sinned." I mean, not that he's sinned, but I'm just saying his share. He confesses, "Dad, I've cheated. Dad, I've done. I said some bad words. Dad, I'm sorry." How much more our Father in heaven is willing when we get on our knees and say, "Lord or Daddy, we've sinned. Daddy, we've fallen short of the glory of God. Will you forgive me? We know. If your son asks for a fish, we don't give him a serpent. He asks for bread, and we don't give him a stone. We know that answer." Hebrews 8, verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Those that truly ask, he says, these verses here come from Isaiah. I think the writer borrowed them from Isaiah. I think Isaiah said these. But he says that they shall not teach every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." That was prophesied thousands of years ago before Jesus came. And that's the God whom we serve. He is merciful to our unrighteousness, but we need to ask. We need to seek. We need to find. He says, "Their iniquities will I remember no more." It's a good place to be. Many people are still in the gutter. Many people are saying, "Oh yes, I don't know. God doesn't hear my cries, and he doesn't do anything to me," because they still love their sinful things. They're laying in the gutter. But if you turn after true repentance and turning away from God will. He said, "I'll remember your iniquities no more." He's willing to make us whiter than snow. If you ask, you shall find. You seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Again, this is just a pile of stones that we're putting here, just a remembrance of the God whom we serve. In Mark here, a few verses here. In Mark 11, I think it was Mark 11. Yeah, Mark 11. "Therefore I say unto you," these are Jesus' words, "what things soever ye desire when you pray, believeth that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If not, if you have aught against any, your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." But verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, if you believe that you receive them, you shall have them." Versus whatever it may be, whatever it may be, God will hear you. God's always saying, "I will respond." Not always on the things upon your lusts, but the things of salvation. Things about your soul, God will always. And pondering that verse where it says there, and I'm not sure what verse it is now, it just come to me. What is man that God is mindful of him? What is man that God is mindful of him? We know that we know that God created many, many beautiful things on earth. Sunrises and waterfalls and mountains and sunsets and etc. You go on. But he's not interested in any of that. It is the soul of man. It is the salvation of man that he's after. He wants a pure and honest heart for mankind so that we can fellowship with him in truth and in spirit. As it says there in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's got to be a desire. And God has said, He will bless you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And it goes on. You are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A few more verses here and I'm gonna close. Just in Revelations 3, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and I will sup with him and he with me. So he's knocking. He's knocking on every soul that has they're at the age of accountability. He's wanting to sup with you. He wants to dine with us. But he cannot until you respond, until you ask. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcome and sit down with my Father in heaven. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And he just says here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He says, I know them. Are you hearing his voice? Do you know him? Does he know you? If not, some of the verses I just shared, need to ask. He is willing. He's desiring that you would ask, that you would come to him, so that he can also, that you can know him and he can know you. But he knows you. But he just says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let's be a follower of him. Are we hearing the voices of Jesus? Are we following him? I just wrote, if we're not, we're missing out the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you to come. Knock and seek and ask. So he can tell you, come. Yes. Come in. I'm going to close with Luke 12. Here he says, verse 28, if then God so clothes the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more still he clothe you, O ye little faith? And seek not what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither be a mindful, a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So don't seek after those, he said, but rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it is. It's Father's good pleasure. It's his pleasure, his desire to give everyone that kingdom of God. That they can take that burden from him, take that ugly, stainful dirt and remove it and give you a heart of flesh. But also, just with that, and just remember, this is just, again, the remembrance of a pile of them 12 stones, just remembering where we come from and who God is and what he's willing to do, no matter what may come up, that he will always remain faithful. Will we? God bless you.